Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Please have a seat and welcome to Church Our Savior. Now, today is a very special service because we have many of our brothers and sisters who are today taking their step in confirmation. The Jews have this, event called the Bar Mitzvah or the Bat Mitzvah, if you are a lady, right? In which you yourself make your covenant with God. And like every other man and woman of God throughout centuries, they have had to renew the covenant since Abraham, right? Isaac had to renew it. Jacob had to renew it. Every generation had to renew it. Today is your turn, so we are very excited to see all of you take this very important step. So today we also are very glad that we have Bishop Kwan Kim Seng to come and confirm the candidates. He has a text prepared for us, so I shall read that text. The first text is taken from the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 7 to 21. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become a partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness of tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And with so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was that sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Shall we, as Anglican tradition, stand for the Gospel reading? Matthew chapter 18, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Christ was as follows. As his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people for their sins. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise be to Christ our Lord. Please be seated. Shall we put our hands together to welcome Bishop Kwan?
Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you, God, that we gather here in your presence And Lord, by your Spirit, you are present. And you have given us your holy word, the word of everlasting life. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you who inspire, your Holy Spirit who inspires written word and who is now in our midst, will take Holy Scripture and speak to us, Lord God. For we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. It's a great joy to be here this afternoon to worship God and to pray for the confirmation candidates and to bring you the Word of God. Now, what I'd like to do this afternoon is to bring a text or to bring a message entitled, Be Holy for I Am Holy. And the title actually is a quotation from Holy Scripture, right? In 1 Peter, but 1 Peter actually quoted it from the book of Leviticus, Be Holy, even as I'm holy. Let me begin by saying this. Holiness. Holy. Now what? I think it's important for us to remember that we are dealing with something that is precious. Now, by the way, only things that are precious, that are of great value, are there fixed, right? So, for example, one day somebody asked me, what watch do you wear, right? Now, nowadays, I wear a digital version, right? It's a digital watch. But what he was referring to was, what kind of watch do you wear? And I say, well, I wear a watch which nobody will make copies of, right? I wear a Casio watch. Now, nobody make copies of Casio. They make imitation copies of Rolex and whatever, right? Faith in God is so important, and because our eternal destiny depends on it, right? There is a great danger that faces humanity, and there is the danger of fake faith. Faith that is not real, right? Faith that is not real. And I think the bottom line of biblical faith really is this. We read in the gospel reading just now, right, when Jesus was born or when Jesus was about to be born, the angel came to Joseph and explained to him this miracle that was about to happen and the all-important reason why Mary would give birth to someone, right, to this Jesus, to this son, even though she had not been with any man, right? It's a miraculous conception. And the angel basically explained it this way, right? Told Joseph, now Joseph, this is what you need to do. You should call his name Jesus, which in the Hebrew will be Yeshua, right? God saves. And his name basically indicates the entirety of his ministry. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus did not come to make us Christians. Jesus did not come to establish a structure called church, right? Jesus came only for one thing, to deliver humanity from our sins. Something which we cannot solve this problem for ourselves. Only God could, to deliver us from our sins, right? And now sin and holiness are contradictions. Fake faith draws us away from the biblical Jesus. And one clear sign of fake faith is the absence of holiness in the lives of so-called Christians. And so it's important for us to think about or to reflect clearly on this whole issue of being holy. What is to be holy? I recently read an article from the Discipleship Training Center magazine, right, DTC Links, and the author of the article, the dean for DTC, Dr. Lim Kay Tam, wrote this. He says, applied to humans, holiness implies or carries a sense of the habit or state of one, of being of one mind, right? Of being of one mind with God. Let me explain it this way. Holiness is the essential characteristic of God. How do we know? What is it about God that ultimately, that's what Godness is all about? He's holy. He's incapable of doing wrong. He's right and just. Everything that stands in sharp contrast to human sins. And God created us, when God created us in His image, He gave us all He could give us. And that is His character. Holiness is His character. Now, when human beings sin, when Adam and Eve turn against God, that holiness was shattered. And Christ came. God, through hundreds of years, prepared the coming of the being of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to do only one thing. And that is to deal with our human sin and to restore us into that shared holiness that we are called to receive. Now let me unpack for you the text that was read in the Hebrews chapter 12. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews and put your finger there. Now let me just give you a quick background to the letter to Hebrews. Now the letter to Hebrews is what I would call a theological gospel. Now we know, of course, that in our Bible, in the New Testament, we have four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, more or less, they are chronological record of the life of Jesus. Right? But the Gospel of John present Jesus in a slightly different way, right? In the signs, or what it's called the seven signs in the Gospel of John. But essentially, they gave us a record of who this person is. Because at the end of the day, who Jesus is to us makes everything, right? So we got four Gospels. And obviously, they're put right in front of the New Testament because Christianity is about Jesus, right? But there is a fifth, what I refer to as a fifth gospel, and there's the gospel, or there is the what I refer to as the theological gospel. What is the book of Hebrews all about? Well, it's all about Jesus. The rest of the epistles are written to argue or to teach certain points, right? But the letter to the Hebrews essentially is only focused on who Jesus is. It starts off this way, that in the days of old, in the past, God spoke to us by the prophets. And of course, when it's written to Jewish people, they understand, right, that the prophets were the people whom God spoke, and then that's how we have, well, what today you and I would call the Old Testament. But for the Jewish people, the Bible, right? God spoke to us through the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. And so this whole letter to Hebrews, basically is an explanation about the Son. Who is He? Well, first of all, He is greater than Moses. Right? He is greater than Moses. Now, when you tell Jewish people, now remember, the letter to the Hebrews was written originally, right, to Jewish believers, to Jewish people, right? So when you talk to Jewish people, if you say, look, this person is greater than Moses, they will ask you, excuse me, are you sure you're right? Moses is the one who gave us the law, right? There's no one who is greater than Moses. But the author to Hebrews says, this person is greater than Moses. He, not only is he greater than Moses, he is our priest. He's our great high priest. Now, when you tell a Jewish person that this person called Jesus is a priest, the first thing that will come to their mind is, you must be talking nonsense. Because a priest can only come from the Levitical family. He comes from the Aaronic family. Then the author to the Hebrews explained, this Jesus is a priest not like the priest that, well, that Jewish people understand, right? But he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, for most of us, the word Melchizedek may not mean anything, but Melchizedek, of course, the Bible in Genesis 14 records a story on the account of Melchizedek, and also in Psalm 110, right, speaks about Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Well, Melchizedek is someone who appeared to Abraham, right, to do two things. Now, Abraham in Genesis 14, Abraham had gone to, well, he was forced into a war, not of his own choice, but because he has to rescue his relative, Lot. And as the outcome of the war, he won the war. And as it was in the days of old, if you win a war, but if you are victorious, everything that your enemy had belongs to you. So everything belongs to him, and he would have, you know, his wealth increased exponentially, so to speak. And the author to Hebrews says that, well, Melchizedek appeared to Abraham to do two things. Number one, to bless him. Number two, to receive the tithe from him. Now, Melchizedek, the author to Hebrews basically speak about this Jesus who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek as someone who is amazingly unique, right? And then the letter continues by saying that, look, this is the Jesus whom we are called to follow. Whom you're called to follow, and then he refers to a whole list of Old Testament heroes of faith, right? Heroes of faith. And then we come to chapter 12, which ended with a call to worship God reverently. And up to this point, in this part of scripture, the author to the Hebrews deal with the issue of the church Christians who were suffering. Who were being, well, in your senior pastor's reading of scripture, the term used in his translation was chastening, right? ESV translation talks about discipline. Discipline. And in this discipline, the author to Hebrews explained that this discipline is taking place, right? Is taking place so that we may share his holiness. Share his holiness. And then we have it in verse 14. And this is where I want to unpack further. It says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Our following after God, our following after Jesus Christ, right, leads us into his presence. But there is a hindrance. And the hindrance here, the Bible speaks about that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And scripture here now speaks about three hindrances to holiness. I'd like to unpack the three for us this afternoon. In verse 15, it says over here, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it, may become defiled. What prevents, what hinders us from the holiness that God has, that God intends for all of us to recover as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Here, the scripture uses the phrase root of holiness, a root of bitterness. There are several ways to see this, one of which is unforgiveness, jealousy. And this root of bitterness is what, if we allow it to take control over our lives, it hinders us from this holiness that we are called to allow it to be part of us. And then the author went on to say, in verse 16, that no one is sexually immoral. Now, immorality unfortunately, is part and parcel of humanity. But immorality is something that Bible, that God speaks or God teaches us to avoid strenuously. Now I would say, in today's age, it is easier to sin in this regard than in previous age. Why? Well, because of the mechanisms that we have. Now, many of you obviously did not live through this era of life. I lived through an era of life when computers start becoming part of our human society, become part of our home, right? And, you know, even in the early days, all sort of things were coming through the internet, right? I'm sure many of us here who are slightly older will remember, and I remember where I will put the computer at home. I make sure I put it outside, and when my children use it, all of us can see, right? So they don't click and go into wrong places. In today's age, the computer is in your pocket. You go into your room, close the room, and nobody will be the wiser. There are no rules about putting it outside the room so that, you know, we can keep a watch over everyone. My point is this. Now, when Jesus talk about holiness, when Jesus talk about sexual immorality, right, he raised the bar so high. For example, he says, now you said of old that you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery, right? Now, Jesus' standard of purity, of holiness, is that of the human heart, not just of action. And so, when Scripture here speaks about the danger of being sexually immoral, I think it's something that we need to take to heart. Then, Scripture here also speaks about do not be unholy like Esau. And an example that the author to the Hebrews gave is do not be unholy like Esau. Now, what's wrong with Esau? What went wrong for him? Now, obviously, we got to go back to that passage in Scripture, and where we have a record that one day Esau went out to the field to hunt. Right? He came back and he was hungry. And his brother, Jacob, had cooked some rather nice soup. Right? And he told his brother, hey, give me a bowl. The brother said to him, you want a bowl? Sell me your birthright. I give a bowl. And now the story appears to be quite a simple story, but it has deep significance, deep spiritual significance. Because the Bible here, the Bible in that text and subsequently told us that basically Esau looked down, belittled his spiritual inheritance. As the eldest, the birthright belonged to him, but he was willing to chuck it off for a bowl of noodles, so to speak. So when Scripture here tells us, do not be unholy like Esau, right, who sold his birthright for a single meal, basically it's telling us that it's important that the spiritual things of God, that the things of God, the things that God has endowed us with, we should hold them carefully. Be holy, for I am holy. I want to go back to the text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. Let me read that for you. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also shall be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What is Christianity finally all about? Is it going to church and being a member of church, of a church community? Ultimately, what is Christianity all about? Christianity, if we go back to the words of the angel who spoke to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is what it's all about. Ultimately, this is what following Jesus Christ is all about. It's a call to get back and recover the holiness, the image of God that we were created in. And the confirmation service is a service which I always tell people that we Anglicans, for us, the confirmation service is the most charismatic of all the services. Why? Because in this service, we invoke, we call the Holy Spirit to come and do something in our lives, right? To come and do a deep work in our lives. Only the Spirit of God, only God Himself, as He enters into our life and live in us, and in a way, steer our lives, take over control of our lives, so to speak, as we hand over to Him headship of our lives, will we be holy? Friends, I want to invite you this afternoon to do this. No one can do it for us. We must want it. But I'm quite sure this is what we all want. That's the reason why we gather here in worship of God. We want to be holy. Why? Because God, our God, desires that for our lives. Would you please stand? I want to pray for you. And we want to ask God, God, cause us, Lord God, to be holy because you are holy. Let us stand. Father, we pause in your presence. Lord, we thank you, God, for your great love for us. That love that caused you to share your very image with us. Thank you, God. And God, we thank you, God, that though this image of God has been marred by human sin, and yet, God, you in your kindness sent your Son into our world, die upon that cross, so that we may be reconciled to you and that we may be renewed in their holiness. Thank you, God. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, Lord God, as we pause before you this afternoon, we ask, God, that for each and every one of us, those of us who are being confirmed today, but for each and every one of us as well, Lord God, we pray that you will work deeply in our lives. Lord, breaking everything that hinder us from walking in holiness before you. Lord God, cause us to be holy, even as you are holy. Father, we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus, your Son, our deliverer. Amen.